That's a, and the Maple Leafs make it 5-1.
How difficult is it to kind of bring him back in?
Can we talk about Toronto and our game tonight, and we'll talk about him tomorrow or one of the other days? Seriously? Yeah. We got lots of time to talk about him.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. On a game day. Only 2 days, right? Game day and non-game days.
Sure, yeah.
Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman.
We're a team.
Can we talk about Toronto?
We have plenty of time to talk about him.
That was a great moment in Chris Chapman press conference history.
Yes, I embrace it.
Now,
obviously.
Now, here's the part, and let's kind of dive into this real quick. Valentin Zhukov returned to practice today. I believe Ken Bulkey had tweeted out, according to the rules, a suspended player can come back and practice with the team with 10 days left in their suspension. So Zhukov, by that logic, is at least 10 days away from being officially reinstated by the NHL.
Yeah, which equates to about 4 or 5 games at this
point.
4 or 5
games, because they're playing literally every other game, so, or every other day. So I guess Gerard Gallant didn't necessarily want to answer questions about Valentin Zhukov, and I get it. It's a game day. That's fine. But jerseys were fine.
Well, the color of a jersey is very important.
I get it. It's fine. Whatever. Who's surprised? Like, genuinely surprised that Valentin Zhukov was on the ice today.
I think I definitely was.
I was.
I wasn't expecting to see him. I don't know anybody that went, oh yeah, hey, there's Zhukov.
Like, is there anyone listening right now? Anybody listening right now? And if this is you, go ahead and give us a call. 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. Is there anybody that thought Valentin Zhukov just was not going to ever show up again? Like, I didn't think he would ever be a part of this team moving forward. I didn't think he'd practice with the team. I thought he would be reinstated and then immediately put on unconditional waivers. That is what I thought was going to go on with Valentin Zhukov. I thought it was going to be a name that we just never spoke of again. I thought it was going to essentially be Voldemort. And again, I'm surprised. I'm shocked. Completely shocked.
I was certainly surprised and shocked to see him out there today. By the way, you might also be surprised that I do know Voldemort from Harry Potter. So,
you know Voldemort?
Yes.
Nice.
See? So yeah,
I like it.
Because I figured since you were surprised, I would just pile on that too. So, but no, I was certainly surprised to see him out there today. But again, it's like, you know, I didn't know if we'd see him again. I thought that we might possibly see him and get in a game and maybe try to be a trade down the road or something else, or maybe not see him because of salary cap and different things. We see guys bouncing up and down from the AHL and different things, but I certainly did not think I would see him out there today.
We have Mike on the line.
Okay.
Mike is not like me. Mike saw this coming. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good.
I did not see this coming.
No? It's a shock to you?
It's crazy to know that this is coming. But it's pretty good that they're standing behind him, though, like they did for Nate Schmidt, though. That's what I think that's class act by the organization to do that, though.
So you don't have any issue whatsoever if Valentin Zhukov's able to come back and work himself back into the good favor of the organization, of Gerard Gallant, him playing for the Golden Knights, no problem?
No problem at all, sir.
All right, thanks.
I think it'll be good for the team. I mean, he's played with the team for a long time. He knows our team, he knows our organization, so, I mean, why not? Bring him back, see what he can do.
No, I tend to agree with you. I'm surprised by this simply because of the language. And, again, thanks for the call, Mike. I'm surprised because of the language that surrounded this suspension versus the language that surrounded Nate Schmidt's suspension. And that's the only thing that I'm really genuinely shocked. If the Golden Knights were to come out when Valentin Zhukov was initially suspended, and if they were to have the same verbiage surrounding this one as they did with Nate Schmidt, I'd say, okay, you know what? Of course he'll be back. Like, of course, the organization believes that this was a mistake. The organization believes Valentin Zhukov, and I expect that he'll be back. The fact that the language was so opposite of that.
It was a 180. It was completely opposite. One player, they said it was a mistake, and, you know, they even questioned the validity of it. And the other one, they said this was a player that made a mistake, that he did the wrong thing.
Now, I'm all for second chances. Like, this is the first time, to my knowledge, that clearly to anyone's knowledge, that Valentin Zhukov has tested positive for performance-enhancing substances. So, you want to give him a second chance? I'm all for that. I thought he fit in well with this team early on. I am very surprised, though. And I know that a lot of people will probably sit there and say, well, you're reading too much into it. It was just one practice. It'll just be two practices or three practices or whatever it is. If you were going to move on, why would you reintroduce this player into any organized activity with your team? If he was never going to be a Golden Knight again, if he was never going to play, why would you reintroduce him into any organized activity for your team?
The only reason, I mean, if I'm trying to pick something out of the air and say, maybe you want him on the ice in case some other team has a scout there or something looking at a practice, but I would say that's an extreme, extreme long shot.
I think you got, I mean, I get what you're saying.
And again, it's just because you said, is there any, that's the only thing that I could even fathom if you're not thinking about having him join the team again at some point.
Right, right. You're trying to recoup an asset. Like, I totally get it. But at the same time, I think this is a pretty good indication that Valentin Zhukov may just be a Golden Knight after his suspension. And I don't know that that's the worst thing in the world.
We know that the Golden Knights saw something in him, and they stuck with him, and they were very pleased with the way he started out the season. They certainly loved the way that he came into camp in shape and ready to play. He won a lot of the fans' hearts and some of his teammates' respect with a fight early on in the season where he showed that he wasn't going to be pushed around anymore. So he did do a lot of things that the organization has liked, and so maybe like what you're saying, you know, maybe they are certainly not willing to say, hey, this didn't work out yet. Let's give it time because we still think it can.
Sure, and you know what? I think that that's fine. However, again, and it's a difficult situation because I just think that the verbiage surrounding this one felt so different than the Nate Schmidt one. And my
it kind of felt like they were done with him from the verbiage.
100% did. And I'll take it one step further because, again, I was pretty steadfast in my take on this one. It cannot happen again. So if I'm the Golden Knights and I even entertain the idea that Valentin Zhukov will be a part of this team moving forward, it is under the understanding that this does not happen again. It cannot happen again.
Oh, no.
And I still firmly stand behind this. It cannot happen again. But at the same time, I'm not going to ever kill anyone for giving out a second chance. And maybe, just maybe, this is the wake-up call that Valentin Zhukov needed. Maybe, just maybe, there's something else here that we don't know. But I am shocked that he was a part of practice today. And in Gerard Gallant's comments, he said, you know, hopefully he can work himself back into a position. And that, to me, at least for the time being, without reading all of the things into it, would suggest that Valentin Zhukov might just be here for the long haul.
Yeah, and when Ken Bolke from Sin Bin asked the original question about is this a situation where he goes right back into the lineup, he was referring to Alex Tuch, who certainly did, and that's where Gallant basically came out and said, well, no, it's a different situation. This was a guy who was trying to find playing time in that, so he would have to earn a spot back in, and that Alex Tuch was back in as soon as he was ready to go. But that being said, that does show from what we're talking about and what you just said there that they do believe that they are going to give him that opportunity to earn that spot back in.
That's all I got on Valentin Zhukov.
I think that's all we need right now because we have plenty of time to talk about him.
We'll read between the lines for the next 9 days.
All right, Toronto tonight.
There's a good player.
Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's do our Vegas Golden Knights.
I don't know about you, but I bet on Mike Babcock. I'll continue to do it. Yeah. He's a good coach.
He's a good coach. At least, you know. I don't know if everybody in Toronto is on that same page right now.
Tyson Berry's a good player. Just not for me.
Vegas Golden Knights keys to the game. brought to us by Honda North. If Vegas's continue now in their winning ways after the Calgary game, how do you see? Because Toronto is a different team than the Calgary Flames. And this is a team that the last time they played, it was a very low-scoring contest. Do you expect that same thing tonight? Because it seems like the general feeling seems to be that this is going to be a bit more high-scoring than the 2-1 affair that we saw last time these two teams hooked up.
Well, we played the audio of Mike Babcock yesterday, and one of the things that I found particularly interesting about his audio is when he was talking about our forwards need to come back and make it a little bit easier on our defense to get the pucks out of their zone so that we can get in and play a transition game. The transition that we used to have isn't really there for us these days. Does that sound familiar to you?
Sounds like a lot of coach speech I've heard before.
No. Not coach speech. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying our forwards need to do a better job of getting back and supporting our D so we could break the puck out of our own zone and play a transition game that we haven't really played that much. Does that sound at all familiar to you?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Who does it sound like?
It sounds like the Golden Knights in some respects, in a lot of respects.
Sounds exactly
during their five-game losing streak, certainly during several points during the season. We got to play faster. We need a transition. We need a forecheck. We need to do everything that teams need to do to win hockey games.
The Golden Knights have mirrored, or the Maple Leafs have mirrored the Golden Knights, however you want to look at it, whatever fan base you're coming from. They have been very much a mirror image of each other. However, Mike Babcock has been doing this now for going on his fifth year in Toronto. And let's be honest, it's deployment of players that seems to be the issue. It is putting guys in the right spaces to succeed versus not doing so and not changing anything. Well, we talked about it yesterday. Tyson Barrie, Jake Muzzin have been paired up. It's not working. Morgan Riley, Cody Ceci have been paired up. It's not working. When it wasn't working with Derek Englund, what happened? Gallant made changes. When Cody Eakin wasn't scoring and it wasn't working, what did Gallant do? He made changes. Mike Babcock hasn't really made any changes.
The only time he's made a change is when somebody's been injured and he was forced to make a change.
Exactly. So the Golden Knights against Calgary found their transition game. And that's a good thing for the Golden Knights. It's a great thing for the Golden Knights because when they play fast, when they are supporting the puck as a five-man unit in all three zones, they are able to play really, really fast transition hockey. And I know a lot of people talked about, well, now they don't have the personnel to do it. I would argue that they still do. And the evidence was that game against Calgary. But it's one game. One game out of 22. Now it's got to be 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row that it needs to show up. I firmly believe that it can. But the reason I'm spending so much time on transition is, quite frankly, the Golden Knights finding theirs is a benefit for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Because the Golden Knights are going to open things up a little bit. The Golden Knights are going to make sure that they are playing a high-paced transition game. And if the Golden Knights hit the net and get rebound opportunities and continue to support the puck well in the offensive and the neutral zone, everything will be just fine. But if the Maple Leafs figure out a way for their forwards to support their D in all three zones, if the Golden Knights don't hit the net and there's some weird bounces or they're not careful with the puck, the fact that they are in transition mindset will open things up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it doesn't matter how bad they appear to be right now. It doesn't matter how much you think Mike Babcock has lost that room. There is talent on Toronto, and you do not want to get into a track meet with them. You do want to play transition, but you want to do it smartly. You've got to pick your spots against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I believe the Golden Knights can do that. The other really big key in this game, the Maple Leafs do not start on time. They have not started on time all year. They're not necessarily getting the goaltending to start on time, but as a team, on the whole, they do not start on time. The Golden Knights need to press from puck drop immediately. Put Toronto on their heels. That's the key. The key to me is the Golden Knights get a lead at least 5 minutes into this game.
And that has been what Toronto has been, like you mentioned, not starting on time. The other team has scored in the last 7 games first against Toronto. Toronto has given up the first goal in a game the last 7 times. They've only won 2 games in regulation in their last 15 games. They are 9-9-4, so it's not like they're way down below the Vegas Golden Knights in record or something like that. And like you mentioned, they do have talent there. But not only do I think it's important that they continue Toronto, forcing Toronto to come from behind like they have in their struggles of late, but it also got crowd back to it. I thought the last game against Calgary was the most involved we've heard the crowd in a while at T-Mobile Arena. When they've gone into their mini funk and they've lost a few games in that, and they were 4-4-2 coming into that game, the crowd has been raucous ever since the Golden Knights first hit the ice. We saw a little bit of maybe fading down in some of the last couple games. And that's going to happen when you're, you know, when you lose to a Blackhawk team 5-3 that you probably thought you should have beaten, when you lose to some of the other teams out there. But that last game was the old crowd. And if they get the first goal and they can maybe capitalize on it and get up 2-0 or something like that, the crowd is also going to be into it against a team in the Toronto Maple Leafs that are, quite frankly, doubting themselves right now. Auston Matthews and other players have come right out and said it. There's not a lot of confidence in that locker room.
Well, I mean, Auston Matthews has done his part, but you're just not getting it consistently enough from the rest of the lineup. I spent a great deal of yesterday's show talking about how Cody Ceci is not an NHL player, but he's a top pairing defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, at some point, you've got to make a change. If you're Mike Babcock, at some point, you have to look around and say, this is all burning to the ground, it isn't working, and it might be uncomfortable, but let's shake some things up. And I think that's the biggest takeaway, is the difference between a coach that's actually on the hot seat versus a coach that we think is on the hot seat is astronomically different, right? Like, Gerard Gallant never stopped coming up with something. And I get that a lot of people didn't necessarily like the fact that it was Peary for Zikov or Peary for Nosek or Nosek for Peary or whatever. Like, I get it. But at the same time, when you look at where the depth was for the Golden Knights over the last couple of weeks, especially with Alex Tuch not an option, there weren't impact moves that were necessarily there to make. Now, if it were me, I would have just thrown everything into a blender and said, whatever, who cares? Because you know what? I don't get paid to coach in the NHL. Like, it would not affect me in any way, but every move that Gallant has to make has to be calculated. It has to have some impetus of, I can see that working, and here's why. I can just say whatever.
Yeah, and he's going to be second-guessed by every single person out there if it doesn't work.
Second, triple, third, I mean, you know, quadrupled, whatever. Yes, but here's the thing, right? Like, when you don't change anything, when it's not working, and you refuse to change anything, and I think that refusal is coming from a place of, well, I don't like my GM, so therefore, I'm going to show that the moves he made in the offseason just don't work. Like Tyson Barry. Tyson Barry is not a stay-at-the-point, shoot-pucks-from-the-blue-line defenseman. Tyson Barry is a rover. Tyson Barry is a guy that needs to have the freedom to play below the hash marks at times, in the corners at times. He is a player that needs to read coverages in the offensive zone and then jump in when other players don't necessarily think it's going to happen. That's how he amasses points. That's how he scores.
Yeah, he's a creator.
But within the system of Mike Babcock, that's not a thing. That doesn't happen. So you're using an asset in a way that is not fundamentally going to help you in any way, and your refusal to change it is why everyone has lost confidence in Mike Babcock's ability to figure this thing out. We all here in Vegas, while we were frustrated, sure. Was the fan base annoyed? Absolutely. But I don't think that anybody, if they were going to ask themselves legitimately, I don't think there was anybody that actually thought Gallant wouldn't be able to figure this one out. Because over the course of time, with this organization, he has shown an ability and a willingness to try things when they aren't working.
And certainly, even if you question whether he was not going, whether he was going to be able to figure it out, I don't think anybody questioned the fact that he was going to do his damnedest to make something and try to shake things up to at least make an attempt to figure it out. He wasn't just going to say, well, we're going to stay the course, and eventually it either works or it doesn't.
And that's the big thing. You have one guy behind a bench willing to change and evolve, and you have another guy who's won 700 games, and it's his way or the highway, and it's not going to change even when it's showing it's not working.
One guy's a little more open-minded than the other one, obviously.
He's a good player.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. We have two pair of tickets to give away for that game tonight. We also have Will Carrier. You want to hear that now, or you want to hear it coming back?
No, let's do Carrier now.
All right. I had a chance to catch up and speak with Will Carrier earlier today after the morning skate over at City National Arena. And basically, I opened up by telling Will that in his game this year, when I've been watching him, I've noticed that when he's throwing his body around and getting physical, it seems like he's doing it with a little bit more of a purpose, trying to get some takeaways and do some other stuff. And I basically asked him, have you tweaked or changed your game a little bit coming into this season?
I'm just trying to create a little bit more. I think we were that part of the game, me and Revo got it pretty dialed in. I think coming through this year was more a bit, you know, creating a bit of more offense. That's what we've been trying to do. Obviously, you know, Revo's still been, you know, buzzing around and throwing the hits around, and you know, now there's more loose sparks for me. I just have to pick it up. I don't have to hit as much. Oh, it's nice.
When you're on the ice, do you think that you get the credit for your speed and your stick handling ability in that? Because you've been creating a lot of scoring opportunities.
I'll try to keep it on the cover so people don't notice. I think that's me and Revo are going right now. People think that we can't play, and we get our chance. And obviously, you know, Nosey's got some good skills, and when Rosie was playing with us, you know, we're trying to create offense, and hitting is just a tool of it now.
The Calgary game, obviously the 6-0 win, but in reality that was a close game right up till the end when it kind of got out of hand and you guys really opened it up. How satisfying was that win, and what different challenge does Toronto pose tonight, because they're a different type of team than the Flames are?
Yeah, I mean, they do have good skills, like, on their top lines, but, you know, they're trying to battle out of a hole like we were the last couple of games. So I think they'll be a desperate team out there, and they'll be working hard, so we gotta be ready for them.
You got the home crowd back into it again the last game. Now, the crowd's been great for you guys for over 2-plus seasons now, but how nice was it to really hear that crowd get back into you, and what does the home crowd mean to you? Because up until recently, you guys have had such a home ice advantage that it was almost like teams were afraid to come here.
Yeah, I hope they don't quit on us after losing a couple games. I mean, it happens. You know, those kinds of stretch will happen, and they just got to hang with us, behind us, and, you know, cheering us up. And like we saw last game, you know, we felt them behind them, and every goal was big, and the crowd was going up. So, no, we need to get back to playing the way we're playing, and I'm sure the crowd will follow us.
Last game against Toronto, it was a 2-1 game in overtime. A lot of people were surprised by that. Do you expect the same thing tonight, or do you expect a high scoring, or do you just kind of wait and see whatever the game dictates, that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to, you know, stop the offense against us. I mean, we let a lot of scoring chances the last couple of games, and obviously we let Flyers stop all of these. So we've been trying to seal out the defense a little bit more, so I'm not expecting a high-scoring game at all.
In a couple of the games that you guys did lose or went into overtime, it seemed like in the third period you almost played a little bit not Golden Knights hockey, maybe took the pedal off the metal a little bit. It seemed in the last game that you guys kept on with that offensive attack and tried to still really put them down and keep the offense going. Was it a different mindset going into that third period against Calgary, or was it just the same thing and it worked out this time?
No, I mean, we the coaching staff and we're all trying to press them forward and stuff. I think it's just, you know, momentum kind of switches and it hits us, and, you know, we let one or two goals, and you know, it's just one of those where we just gotta, you know, even if they score, we gotta reset, go back to work, and you know, get confidence. It's all about being confident. In the last couple of years, we had that, and I've just got to get back to it.
Marc-Andre Fleury got his 58th shutout the last game. It was 2-0. He made a huge save to keep it 2-0 before you guys opened it up with 6-0. How big was that save, and what is it like when you guys are on the bench or when you're on the ice with him to see him out there, that in the midst of no matter what kind of chaos there is, like the thing with Tkachuk, where all of a sudden he's rubbing him on the head and that and going, hey, son, it's all right. And does that just keep everybody loose?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just take it for granted. I think he makes those saves night after night, and we don't realize how big these saves are. You know, those are almost short goals, and he saves once a night for sure. So, no, it's big for us, and, you know, like I said, we just got to steal the defensive side and hopefully don't create as much as offense for them. Yeah.
Have you been the victim of one of his pranks yet?
No, he knows. He knows if he hits me, I'll hit him back. So he knows. I think he's been really good to me yet. Yeah.
Will Carrier there had to go for a little levity at the end there. He says that Fleury knows better than to prank him.
Smart.
All right, hey, we're not pranking anybody right now. If you want to go to the game tonight, we have a pair of tickets for you. We need a number.
All right. I've gone deep into the well of Toronto greats for this one. I've got two. One I think Chris Chapman will like. One I think Chris Chapman's never heard of. However... Phil Housley wore number 96 for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Is he the one you think I haven't heard of?
No, he's the one I think you like.
Okay, yeah.
Caller number 96.
Caller 96, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. You have tickets for tonight's Vegas Golden Knights Toronto Maple Leafs game. When we come back, we're going to talk about Brandon Leipzig's been up to lately. Lots more to get to. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Fans on a shot. Miller blocked it. Tapped ahead. Now it's Leipzig. All by himself. Leipzig down the middle. The lefty fakes. Saved by Allen. It was a backhand try from Leipzig, but he couldn't get it over the big left pad.
Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio. Your home for Golden Knights hockey. Congratulations to our winner, Daniel. He's going to be checking out the game tonight. If you want to go... We do have one more winner that we will be giving away for tonight's game as well. So stick around. We'll do that at the end of this segment as well.
And if you thought 96 was high, just wait.
All right. I am now on pins and needles here.
You should be.
Edge of my seat.
You should be.
Garnett Hathaway is going to be having a hearing Wednesday morning regarding the spitting incident from Monday's game against the Anaheim Ducks, according to NHL Executive Vice President and Director of Hockey Operations Colin Campbell. That's what he told TSN's Pierre LeBrun. But what led up to the spitting incident...
Hold on. Before we get to that, where does spitting fall on the continuum of licking somebody? Like, just because Brad Marchand got... Did he get suspended for licking, or was that just a fine? I don't remember.
I thought he got suspended, but it was after like the second or third time.
So it was the second time he got suspended, I think, for one playoff game? Is that correct?
It seems about right.
Okay, so two regular season games for licking. Is spitting worse than licking? They're both disgusting.
They're both absolutely disgusting. In some ways, it seems licking would be worse, but you know, when somebody just hauls back and just... I mean, on NHL Network last night, I believe they were calling it Loogiegate.
Loogiegate.
So, I mean, it was, and again, I love Hathaway from what he said about it. He said the refs were trying to break it up, and it felt like there was a couple sucker punches thrown, and I got one quick and then reacted a little emotionally, and unfortunately, spit came out of my mouth after I got sucker punched, and it went on him. If you watch the video, there was nothing accidental about this incident. He rears his head back, and he spits on him.
Could you imagine if that was Brad Marchand's defense? Yeah, I accidentally fell tongue first onto his face.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine
how ridiculous that is? He got in my face, and my tongue was hanging out because I was impersonating Michael Jordan, and I just licked on him.
Okay, so here's the thing. Brendan Leipzig was involved in all of this. He is the one that actually... incited Loogiegate because he went into a corner and laid a perfectly good, acceptable hockey hit on, I think it was Derek Grant of the Anaheim Ducks.
Grant, he was throwing his weight around in that game.
He was. He's got to play a certain way. And for whatever reason, Brendan Leipzig, one of the best former Golden Knights to ever lace him up, has found a home on the Washington Capitals. Like, if he can make it there, he could probably make it anywhere except for, you know, like Toronto or Vegas or L.A. or Vancouver. But, hey, he's able to figure it out in Washington. That's
Washington
great.
On pace right now to win the President's Trophy. They might
and
not want
I'm
to do
sure
that.
It's probably because of Brendan Leipzig. Like, let's be honest, right? Like,
he might have been the missing piece.
Let's just call him the piece from now on. I like it. Anyway, Brendan Leipzig hits a guy in the corner. The Ducks stop playing because they want to fight Brendan Leipzig. Little tiny Brendan Leipzig. What ends up happening is puck gets back to the corner or back to the point. The Capitals score in the midst of all this. Everyone's fighting everybody. Hathaway and Gudbranson wind up coming together, and Hathaway hocks a loogie right in the face of Eric Gudbranson.
And Hathaway, actually, at one point, there was an official between him, and there was two guys there that he was kind of taking on together. And he's right. There were some sucker punches thrown around the referee.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
But you still don't spit on somebody. And then to make it sound like, and unfortunately, some spit got on him.
Well, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation.
The unfortunate thing is that some of the spit probably also got on the official because it was totally meant for the opposing player.
Yeah, it's all disgusting. It's all gross. Now, I expect Hathaway to be suspended, for sure. I think loogies are more disgusting than licking, although licking is super-duper intentional, and like maybe somebody's like, I could see the argument that he wasn't really trying to spit on the guy. I still think he probably ends up getting 3 games. I'm gonna put it at 3 games.
It will be interesting to see where it goes. And I would not do either. I do not spit on people because I think that's absolutely disgusting.
So
but I can't even imagine licking somebody in the face.
Well, the next time Boston comes to town, you clearly need to sit down with Brad Marchand and figure out how you get to that headspace. Or not. I mean, yeah, it's up to you. If you want to be Frank Harnish, the guy that doesn't lick people, like, that's fine. That's totally okay.
I think I'm comfortable with that, yeah.
You think you'll be okay with that? Okay.
I think I'm comfortable with that.
No, that's fine. I get it.
I would give a hug before I would lick somebody, I believe, yeah. And I'm not
heard
doing
it
either.
You heard it here first. There we go.
It's hug time with Frank Harnish.
So, Brendan Leipzig, like, there's no real debate, right? Like, he is the best former Golden Knight ever.
Well, he's playing on a team right now that's the best team in the NHL.
I think Valentin Vadim Shipachev gets a...
You just melding
Vadim Shipachev.
What was that?
Vadim Shipachev gets honorable mention.
How so?
His shooting percentage is much better than Brendan Leipzig's.
I mean, Brent...
I don't know why that happened.
Okay.
And the train is completely off the rails.
Chris's phone was telling him that he's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that was great.
Siri was telling me Brendan Leipzig is by far and away.
He has
even
what?
Siri knows you're out of your mind.
His shooting percentage is what, 50%?
I think so.
Yeah. No, it'll never. I mean, no one's ever going to get close to that. I get it.
No,
it's fine. One goal, 2 shots. I get it. Impactful.
Hall of Fame stuff.
Yes.
But.
Retire number 87
but
right
did
now.
You ever
pretty
get,
small sample size.
Did you ever get the emotion that you got from Alex Tuch to Brendan Leipzig when Brendan Leipzig finally scored a goal? In fact, I think we might have gotten that 2.0 with Cody Eakin the other night.
That's true, yeah. That was an exciting moment for those guys. I think they...
How cool for Cody Eakin to have to sit there and wait to see if that goal was going to be upheld.
And if you're Calgary, why are you challenging that when it's 4-0?
Because they didn't want it to be 4-0.
Yeah.
It was the only chance they had in that game. And he clearly was over the line, but because Calgary knocked it in, that's why it wasn't. Mm. I mean, his body was clearly over the line before the puck, but because Calgary brought it in, that's why it wasn't offside.
Seems like Bill Peters should know that rule. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. He's not a good hockey coach. Next story is...
Another former Golden Knight.
A little update on Eric Halla. So yesterday, around the time of the show, it was reported that Eric Halla would be out for a while. So he came back. I believe he played two games. So he missed some time with a knee injury, comes back, plays a couple of games, and then isn't on the ice for a skate. He isn't on the ice for a practice. After the practice, Rob Brind'Amour said that he'd be out for a while. I don't expect him to play anytime soon. Well, Chip Alexander, he covers the Carolina Hurricanes, had this tweet yesterday, which I found to be very interesting. Before the season, Eric Halla had this description of his knee injury last year. Dislocated patella with chipped bone and cartilage inside the knee. So that is why the injury was described as atypical, unique, whatever you want to call it. I hope so desperately, so badly, that Eric Halla rehabs and gets himself to a position where he can be an effective hockey player for an 82-game season for a team.
Because he was playing very well at the start of this season.
He was great so far this season. He's been the piece that the Carolina Hurricanes have wanted him to be. The only issue is that he's already on his second stint of not being able to play for them. So therefore, all I want to say in terms of this, in bringing it up, is we finally have a clear-cut indication of what Eric Halla was battling through, trying to get back from last season in order to get to this team sometime in the playoffs. And we know what kind of battle he's got now, trying to just stay healthy. So nothing but good, positive vibes being thrown Eric Halla's way. Because he was one of the guys I liked in the locker room. He was fun.
Well, he was fun in the locker room. He also, you know, everybody talks about William Karlsson in that first season, and certainly rightfully so. Sometimes I think people forget, 29 goals Halla had. I mean, Eric Halla was sensational that first year.
He's a really good, I mean, he was everything the Golden Knights needed him to be. And, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. You never want to take anything for granted. And I think that you get into these situations where we judge players so often unfairly on age and factors beyond their control. And this is certainly something that's beyond Eric Halla's control in terms of it's an injury that he's got to try to figure out how to get back from. The Carolina Hurricanes took a gamble on a guy they thought could be a third-line center and make them incredibly deep. When he's in the lineup, it is proven to be the right move for Carolina. The problem is he needs to be in the lineup, and he's got to take his time. If you are the Hurricanes, you do not rush him back anytime soon. You take your time rehabbing this guy, because when healthy, he can make you absolutely dynamite.
In news around the league of the, yeah, did anybody expect anything different? Corey Snyder clears waivers.
Come on. No one took a chance on Corey Schneider. I don't know what his cap hit is. I assume it's large. I think it's large. I think it's like over or at least around $6 million. I could be wrong on that, but that's what I think it is. The only team, we were talking about Corey Schneider a little bit yesterday, the only team that I could legitimately say, you know, as bad as Corey Schneider is, he's probably not as bad as the two goaltenders that they already have. What's the number?
Well, he's making $6 million a year. That's okay. His cap hit.
$6 million a year. So,
although it says at this point, it's only 3.65. So far, I guess, for the rest, what he's accumulated already this season.
As bad as Corey Schneider is he as bad or worse than Martin Jones? As bad or worse than Aaron Dell? I know that San Jose doesn't have the cap room, but that was an organization that I thought could have taken a look at Corey Schneider. I just don't think that it would have worked from a dollars and cents point of view, which is unfortunate because I think a change of scenery is what Corey Schneider needs, and to not be the number one goalie.
It very well could be.
It would have been hard for them to make it work because Aaron Dell is making 1.9, and they only had... or have about 1.4 million. So what's that? 2.5 million.
They don't have enough.
Yeah, they're close though. They're very close because if he's 3.6, They're at about 3-4, so they could have made it work if they really wanted to.
Yeah, apparently they didn't want to. They will be the next opponent. However, the Toronto Maple Leafs are tonight's opponent, and we need another number because we have another pair of tickets to give away. If you call, make sure that you can go to tonight's game.
Hey, Chris, do you know who Wilf Payment is?
No.
Wilf Payment.
Wilf? W-I-L?
Wilf. Yep.
Okay.
Wilf. He wore a number for 187 games as a Toronto Maple Leaf. And he was the last player other than Wayne Gretzky to wear this number. Wilf Payment, number 99 for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So Wilf Payment, whose number is retired by every team in the league now.
Wilf Payment. Yes. That Wilf Payment. You weren't expecting anyone else with number 99. Wilf Payment.
Caller 99-702-876-1340-702-876-1340. When we come back, the class of Hall of Fame was just inducted yesterday. I want to get Ryan's thoughts on a couple guys that might be eligible next year to see what he thinks about who's in, who maybe isn't in. Wrapping it up next, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Good luck to caller 99-702-876-1340. Welcome back. Wrapping it up. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Toronto tonight. You can join Ryan and I up at Hyde Lounge at 6:30 for the pregame. This is totally safe for work. Don't know what that has to do with anything there, but yeah, we'll be up there at Hyde Lounge.
It was just to derail you.
Yeah, well, okay, whatever. I would like to apologize to anybody if I sound nasally today, but.
Hey, just don't get the players sick.
I'm trying not to. Trying not to breathe in anybody. All right, the Hall of Fame induction was yesterday. Congratulations to David, by the way, who will be joining us tonight. And we'll have tickets for San Jose tomorrow.
The only time I'll say this, don't ask Frank for a hug. You don't want to get sick.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Ever.
Just go, man.
The Hall of Fame was last night. They inducted the players. Next year, 2020, according to this story that I found on the Score earlier today, they say one player is a lock for next year. Jerome Iginla is a lock. People that they make a strong case for, and I'm going to do this quickly, and this is just alphabetically. Strong case, they say, can be made for Daniel Alfredson, Sergei Gonchar, Marian Hossa, Alexander Mulgainy. Those are the ones that they say is a strong case.
Marian Hossa?
He's got a ton of goals.
Okay.
525 goals.
I think Mulgainy's a lock. I think he'll get in.
I think he should be in.
He's a really, really good player in his prime.
I don't know that he's a lock, but...
Would you like to hear a couple on the bubble real quick?
Sure, let's go on the bubble.
Ron Brind'Amour, Patrick Elias, Theo Fleury, Curtis Joseph, Pierre Turgeon, Doug Wilson.
I want Elias in.
I'm sure
for obvious
do.
Reasons.
Of course you do. Of course you want Patrick Elias. I get it. It's fine. Yeah, Jerome again was a lock.
Is that the only lock?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
that's 100%.
So then you would agree with that list? Who else would you vote for?
I would agree that Jerome Iginla is a lock. That's about it. That's all I got. All
right.
Jerome Iginla is a first ballot Hall of Famer, period. End of story.
Wilf Payment?
Probably. Second best 99 in the game.
His number is retired throughout the league.
Yes, it is.
Can't do too much better than that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Day 2, the break is up next. Join us again tonight. We'll be on with the pregame show 6:30, then turn it over to Dan Duva and Gary Lawless for the Vegas Golden Knights and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.